You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Dr. James Sears. Dr. Sears, thanks for joining us today.
Not a problem. It's an absolute honor to be on American Free Press Radio.
Well, thank you, sir. It's an honor to have you as a guest. And would you prefer that I refer to you as Dr. Sears or James or Jim?
You can just call me James. That's fine.
Okay, James. James, I found a very interesting article online. Somebody sent it to me, Government Bar's Canada Post, from delivering controversial Your Ward News. I want to get into that in great detail in a moment, but before we do, I'm just going to read for the listeners a bio sketch you sent over to me. Very interesting. And then I want to ask you just a few questions before we get into this article. Dr. James Sears is the leader of the New Constitution Party of Canada, a party based on an amalgamation of the philosophies of Dr. Ron Paul, Adolf Hitler, and Jesus Christ. A medical doctor by training, Dr. Sears is now Canada's top anti-Marxist activist. He promotes his activism by being editor-in-chief of the largest anti-Marxist publication in the world, Your Ward News, which is delivered each month by Canada Post to 305,000 addresses in Toronto and read by over 1 million. Due to this controversial publication, he has been the subject of more hate crime investigations than any other person in Canadian history. Congratulations. Dr. Sears is also an aggressive advocate for male masculinity, promotes masculinity by educating the public on the New World Order's agenda of chemically and psychologically castrating Western men. To further his masculinity agenda, Dr. Sears has become Canada's top seduction guru, providing one-on-one coaching for men looking to hone their skills in the taming of the femi-Marxist shrew. Finally, Dr. Sears is Canada's top medical fraud and malpractice investigator. He lives in Toronto with his wife, Colette, their 15-month-old son, Nicholas, and their Shih Tzu, Mountain Bear. Is this up to date? Is Nicholas 15 months still?
Well, 15 months and maybe a week, yeah.
Okay, all right.
He's doing very well. He's been walking since 10 and a half months, and part of the reason is we haven't immunized him, and we're not about to do that.
Yes, our son, he's 9 now. We have not immunized him either. He walked at 8 months.
He didn't even crawl.
He just jumped up and started going.
He crawled for maybe 6 weeks and then started walking. He just didn't want to stay down. And I think the immunizations have a lot to do with kids developing later and later nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, immunizations are something relatively new. It was Bush 1 that ramped up the vaccination schedule from about 30 to 35% of school-age children in the United States getting vaccinated to now close to 100%.
Took
his orders. Big far it is. It really is horrible because I have an autistic son as well. So let's get into this article here now. We spoke prior to this interview briefly, and I have seen you on a video and listened to what you have to say. I can't remember exactly what the video was, but I watched another video. You were interviewed by some nice fella. Let's first start with, where were you born? What's your background?
Well, I was born in Toronto, Canada. My parents are actually Greek background. They came here in 1953. My father was an orphan from Asia Minor, Greek background, but the Ottoman Empire was there originally, and then it was Asia Minor, and his parents were slaughtered there. My mother came from Crimea. She was Greek also from the Crimean Peninsula, and the family that remained behind in the Soviet Union were slaughtered. Her family was lucky to get out. So my parents were, of course, survivors of real Holocaust. And I say real Holocaust because we keep hearing about these 6 million Jews that were gassed that were never gassed. These Holocausts were real. And what was very interesting is on my father's side, that particular Holocaust was sort of a result over many generations of what a group called the Young Turks did in Turkey. And you hear about the Armenian Genocide, and a lot of people say, oh my God, the Muslims murdered the Armenians. Actually, it wasn't Muslims. It was a group called the Donmeh, D-O-N-M-E-H, who were crypto-Jews from Spain that did the Armenian Genocide. If you do your research, you will find out Jews were behind it. And in the Soviet Union, that genocide was Marxist Jews that murdered 50 million Christians. So they were survivors of these genocides. They came to Canada in 1953 after World War II, and because they needed immigrants here at that time. Now we don't, but they're importing 300,000 invaders, I call them. They're not even real immigrants. They come here offering nothing. An immigrant to a country is supposed to offer something to that country. These people offer nothing. I was born here in 1963. And I grew up in Canada, and Canada has gradually changed since I was born here. In the same way that in the United States, traders changed the immigration laws in the 60s. In Canada, in the late 60s, around 1968, our immigration laws were changed, and people were allowed in that had nothing to offer the country. And the person behind that was Pierre Trudeau. Pierre Trudeau being the father of Justin Trudeau, who's the prime minister now. Pierre Trudeau was the justice minister in Canada in 1968, and he changed the laws, and then he became the prime minister in the early 70s. So Trudeau destroyed the country, and Justin's just continuing in Pierre's tradition of destroying Canada.
You know, I read your biography, and I heard what you just had to say now, and really, even for somebody like me, 10 years ago, if I heard that, I would think, gee, that's a little extreme. But everything you're saying is 100% true and proven by facts. You know, it's funny how far we've come here in such a short amount of time, being able to talk about what we're talking about and talk about it seriously. I don't know if you've ever been confronted with that rather shocking dichotomy of the difference between really just relatively recently. I mean, I don't know how long you've been knowledgeable about this stuff, but it seems like really only the last couple of years that things have really sped up.
Well, I'll tell you where it hit me. On 9/11, at that time I wasn't awake. I was convinced that Muslim terrorists had done it. Then I got into researching online. I went to whatreallyhappened.com, a site that's been up forever, a conspiracy site. And I began to do research. Then I found out things that really shocked me. I mean, I knew that quote-unquote Jews had a lot of influence in society. I did not know the degree to which they manipulated the government and how little the government worked for us, because they're beholden to Israel. So I've done a lot of research since then. I've become very well read. And about a year ago, I took over as editor-in-chief of Your Ward News. Now, Your Ward News at that time was not what it is today. Your Ward News was a political newspaper that sort of dug down deep into municipal politics and uncovered municipal corruption. That's where the name came from, because the city of Toronto split into multiple wards, and each ward has a councillor, so it was called Your Ward News. When I took over, I decided to shift it towards anti-Marxism, and it was a hard shift, but the owner of the paper supported me 100%. The owner of the paper is a gentleman by the name of Leroy St. Germain, who is a white guy. I know his name's Leroy, and I know it's shocking, but yes, he's white. When I say white, he's actually half French, half Aboriginal. So he's considered an Aboriginal person. They call them Métis in Canada, sort of the mixed people, but he's a status native. And he runs the paper, and he doesn't care one bit what the government says. He supports free speech 100%, and he supports everything that I'm doing with the paper.
Mm-hmm.
But him being Aboriginal doesn't help the paper in any way, but it explains his resolve to fight a corrupt government, because his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa was the right-hand man of a gentleman by the name of Louis Riel, who was a Canadian hero. He was a Métis who was executed for treason by the Canadian government, but he didn't commit treason. He just led an Aboriginal revolt in Western Canada. So Leroy comes down from a long line of angry Indians, and I'm very, very proud to be working for an Aboriginal to fight for free speech in Canada.
Are you a medical doctor, James?
Yeah, MD by training. I did a lot of medical legal work, but I haven't done that in a while. Like, I've really been focusing more on the political end of things now. I've been focusing on the newspaper and trying to bring people together to fight for, well, basically, I want to expel the Marxist parasite from Canada, just like in the United States. Our country's been infected by this disease called cultural Marxism, and a lot of people don't understand what that is. I'll make it really simple for your listeners, for the less sophisticated listeners. There was a time where you could just speak your mind. If you thought that Muslims were behind terrorism, you could say it. If you thought that Israel and the CIA teamed up to bring down the Twin Towers on 9/11, you could say it. If you had an issue with the LGBT community having a gay pride parade with full frontal nudity and masturbating on floats in front of your children, you could say something. Now we have political correctness. A lot of people say, oh, but that's a good thing to be politically correct. Well, if you don't understand history, you don't understand what they're doing. It's going to lead to the slaughter of entire populations. And let me explain how it works. In the Soviet Union, the communists took over. The Marxist version of communism took over in 1917. They had the communist revolution. They took over the Soviet Union. The first laws they passed were laws on political correctness. You could be executed for anti-Semitism, as an example. So if you criticize Jews openly, they would execute you. Those are the first laws they passed, laws on political correctness. Now, the reason they did that is if you can control what a person says, eventually there's a feedback, a biofeedback loop to their brain, and they will stop thinking it. If you can control what they say, you can eventually control what they think. Then the next laws they passed were laws to confiscate weapons for the safety of the public, just like what Obama's trying to do down in the States. Then once the weapons were taken and the people couldn't speak, they started slaughtering people and 50 million Christians wound up dead. The same thing's going on here. And the political correctness is the first part of it. And you notice what happens here. Because of political correctness, there's a mass murder in the States. We don't know if Orlando happened. There's a lot of staged false flags. But let's assume for a moment it happened. But you're not allowed to say anything. I am seeing the left, the Marxists, eating each other and infighting. The Muslim radical who was let in is fighting with the LGBTs. But you can't say Muslim radical. Now, he may or may not be responsible for it. It could be a false flag. He could have been used as a patsy by the CIA. But we can't even say that. We can't say anything because you'll offend somebody no matter what you say. If you say the CIA and the Israeli Mossad used him as a patsy, then you're offending Jews. If you say that he's a radical Muslim, you're offending Muslims. If you say something about him reacting because of his religion to LGBT, then you're offending gays. You can't say anything.
And no matter what you say, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Exactly. But see, here's the thing. When the government says a bunch of guys in a cave brought down the Twin Towers, that's a conspiracy theory.
Right, with box cutters.
Their theory. So here's the thing. I want to change that. Now, Trump's doing something to change it by just speaking his mind. But we all got to do it. We all got to be kind of like mini Trumps. Whether you support Trump or not, doesn't matter what your political affiliation is. I don't care if you're voting for the crazy woman Hillary or like crazy Bernie. It doesn't matter who you're voting for. You got to start speaking your mind. And when a person who opposes your viewpoint is speaking, you don't shut him down. See, the right wing doesn't shut down the left. If I see a bunch of commies carrying flags down the street and protesting and saying we want free shit, it makes me happy. Because I say I live in a country where they can do that. I want people to speak, but the left, the Marxists, don't want people speaking about anything other than what they support. And that's where it comes down to our newspaper. Our newspaper, every time someone gets it in the mail, I'm going to say there's 5% of the population that's outraged by our paper. And you can download a free PDF of our paper at yourwardnews.com. It's yourwardnews.com. You'll see that it's offensive politically, but we go after political targets. This 5% of the population calls up Canada Post. They call the police, and then the police don't know what to do, so they go door to door to confiscate the papers and do an investigation. Then the police look at them and say, well, it's offensive, but it's not hate speech. Because in Canada, hate speech is when you say, let's round up all the blacks and sterilize them or something, you know, like something bad like that. That's not what it is. We're just talking about topics that are taboo. They couldn't shut us down. So I'm the chess player. I'm playing chess with them. Everything the government's doing, I'm beating them. I'm one or two moves ahead of them. Then the government decides to cheat. They took a rarely used law that's on the books in the Canada Post Act, where the minister, that's the member of parliament, the cabinet minister in charge of Canada Post, she employed a little known law that says that I am such a bad person that she believes I'm committing crimes. She doesn't have to prove it. She just believes it's true. And she signed a piece of paper where I'm not allowed to use the post office. I can't send my aunt a Christmas card. This law is reserved for really bad people like letter bombers, or maybe some guy just got released from prison. He's on parole after he sent anthrax to a senator.
You're sending anthrax for the brain.
Well, exactly. It's intellectual bombs being sent through the mail. So this legislation is not to be used lightly, but she has. The Canadian Civil Liberties Association, which is our equivalent of the ACLU in the States, and isn't as Zionized as the ACLU, but a little bit Zionized. They came out in support of me within days and sent her a scathing letter, which is on the CCLA's website. The Canadian Civil Liberties Association has a letter on their website, which clearly tells her that what she's done is illegal and demanded that she revoke her order. Of course, she never replied to their letter. I'm allowed to appeal it. Now, here's how the appeal works. I formally requested an appeal. She has to form a committee of three people, one of which is a lawyer, that she appoints to decide if she was right. So she could appoint three Liberal Party people. There is nothing in the law which states how long she has to do it. She could take a year. So we are serving her with more demand letters now. I can't get into the details of what we're doing right at the moment. We're in a media blackout for the next 30 to 60 days while we send her some very, very harshly written legal letters demanding that she do what's right. What has happened right now is really, really scary. Where they couldn't win the honest way, they couldn't win by building up a criminal case, because there is no criminal case. We've done nothing criminal. And they needed to shut down this newspaper because it's critical of the Liberal Party and Justin Trudeau. That's the only reason they're doing it. But they call us names. They called us homophobes. Why? Because I write an article that says transsexuality is like a delusion. It's actually a mental illness, and that these people need psychotherapy as opposed to being butchered with a sex change. But that's transphobia and homophobia. When I say that the Jewish Holocaust of 6 million Jews, they were not gassed. There were no 6 million Jews gassed. 6 million Jews did not die. Several thousand tragically died of typhus. I said that clearly. No, that's anti-Semitism. If I say that Israel murdering Palestinians is an outrage, that's anti-Semitism. If I say, now this is a really good one, they say he used the N-word. I wrote an article where I talked about slavery, and I said the first slaves in North America were white. And up until 1700, there was almost no black slaves in North America. They were almost all white and mostly Irish. And I said, this is why a lot of Negroes, you know, African Americans, African Canadians, who know history, refer to the Irish as white niggers. So that makes me racist. Then they said he uses the word Negro. I say I won't use the word black, because black has a lot of negative connotations. White is good, black is evil. White is clean, black is dirty. White listed, black listed. Black heart, white knight. I'd prefer to say Negro or African Canadian. But they say, that's racist. Then they say, I'm sexist, I'm misogynistic, you name it. And if you look at the paper, you understand why they're making those comments. Oh, and then the even better one. They said that I said that Jews are involved in ritualistic murder of children and blood drinking. I wrote an article. I didn't come out and say that. Let's forget the historical evidence that's out there. I didn't come out and say that at all in writing. What I did was, I talked about how Sophie Trudeau, the wife of Justin Trudeau, did a fake infomercial where she pretended she was drinking menstrual blood.
Oh.
It's the most disgusting thing. You look up Sophie Trudeau menstrual blood drinking.
I'd rather not.
I'm telling you, it's really gross. I wanted to report on it, but we're a satirical paper. So I reported on it, and I talked about blood drinking through the ages. And it was a satirical article I wrote on it. And I talked about how wine glasses for red wine are shaped like uteruses for that reason. And you know the term scarlet woman? Scarlet woman comes from the virgins who would menstruate, and then the elite would drink their blood thinking it kept them young. And I wrote an article about this because what she did was disgusting. And I wanted to write an article. I didn't just want to say she did this crazy video. I wanted to write an article on how the elite drink blood. I had people tell me, when I heard what you were doing, I said I didn't want any part of it. It's disgusting. But I read your article. It's one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen written. They don't understand satire. Then a guy by the name of Warren Kinsella, who is a Liberal Party strategist, was on a radio show. And on the radio show, he compared what we're doing to child pornography. That's how serious it was. And we were like Hamas. Now, Hamas is not a terrorist organization. They're a legitimate government. But the narrative by the mainstream media is that they're terrorists. So what he was basically saying is we're terrorist kiddie porn peddlers. That's how bad what we do is.
That's a perfect word, the narrative. And what you said before about, I'd really like to find out more about this, is what you were talking about communists when they took over. And of course, they were mostly Jews. Anybody,
of course.
Anybody who studies it could see that. And of course, that's why they would pass that law about anti-Semitism. But it was fascinating about when you're told what you can say and what you can't say, that your mind then adapts to that. And then you don't think it. That's something that I think is very important. It fills in a lot of pieces to the puzzle. But when you use the word narrative, that's very important as well, because the narrative of these groups, which are mostly run by Jews, that just happens to be the fact, the government, the media, whatever it might be. When people say the Jews are calling the shots and you didn't know, it was 9/11 that woke you up. Whatever it was that woke some of the listeners up, it might be something different. It happens to be that 9/11 woke a lot of people up and woke a lot of people up who never thought that they would be woke up and then discovered what they never thought they would discover. Of course, they're all anti-Semitic, Jew-hating creatures.
Right, exactly. And what I'm trying to do is wake up more people, and the government realizes it, because you've heard of Agenda 21, where the UN wants to control all sorts of things. There's another agenda, I forget if it's Agenda 2030 or something, but there's another agenda on the horizon where they want hate speech laws to be unified across the world. It's part of the religion of Holocaustianity, and we need to fight this tooth and nail. America's the last bastion of free speech, supposedly, but in the United States, they're thinking of passing hate speech laws. That has to be stopped. And here in Canada, I have to defeat the government here, because where is it going to end? This isn't hate speech. I mean, speaking the truth should never be hate. I don't feel any hate for anyone. I hope your listeners get a little bit of a feel for what's going on here in Canada, and they're more than welcome to download a free copy of our paper at yourwardnews.com. That's yourwardnews.com. And if they want to send us any emails, give us their thoughts on what's going on up here, we'd love to hear from your American listeners.
We will certainly do what we can to spread the news, and I want to thank you so much, Dr. Sears, for the time you spent explaining all this to listeners, and I hope that we can talk to you again real soon to give the listeners an update about what's happening and have you on as a regular guest. It was very enjoyable for me.
I'd love to do it. I'll talk on any topic. Even topics I don't know about, I'll talk on.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.